I'd invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19 as we look there in Luke's account of the triumphal entry. It's found in all four Gospels. It's kind of interesting to me, and I'm not sure what to make of it, but in the Gospel of Luke, as well as in Mark, who is considered the earliest of the Gospels. Mark is, it's referred to the animal that Jesus was given to ride upon as a colt, whereas in Matthew and John, called an ass. I'm not sure what the entire difference is between the two, but it's just one of those little differences in the Gospels, the four, which in a way is confirmation that the testimony given of Jesus' life and his teaching and his death and resurrection are true. Because if they were all of universal nature, you know, they say that in a trial, the jury never looks for total agreement. Because if it were so, you know, they got together and said, okay, this is what we're going to say. Whereas when there are subtle differences, like there are even in the Gospels, it's a confirmation that it's even more to the point. The testimony that's given is even more true, reliable, because of these little differences like this. What's the difference between a colt and an ass? I'm not really entirely sure. I think some farmer might be able to tell us. So it begins with, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Now, immediately before this, Jesus teaches about the parable of, as it's called, the 10 minas, 10 little coins that he'd given to 10 of a king to be, had given to 10 of his servants to hold, to account for. So it then continues with, after Jesus had said this. Of course, the example that Jesus was giving was twofold. For one thing, apparently everybody, as Jesus tells the story, hated the king-to-be, who was to be anointed. And which is an interesting thing, because this king-to-be anointed is exactly like Herod's four children, his four sons who were to take over, Herod the Lesser, as he's known, and because Herod the Great had passed away already in, 4 B.C.? And so his four sons took over the realm, and one of them in particular had to go to Rome in order to get the certification, let us say, of his kingship. And the people hated him back home. In fact, they sent a delegation of 100 people, 100 respected citizens, to say, don't do this, Augustus. But Augustus, of course, did give the kingship to his son. And so they were stuck with him, as bad as he was. And so there's an allusion to this fact in Jesus' story that he's telling. But moreover, in the account of the ten, he's also teaching us a lesson about how we handle the gifts that the Lord provides us, isn't he? I mean, the one took that one minas and made out of it a little unit of coinage and made out of it 10. Another had taken that one and made 5 out of it. And then there was, of course, the one who did nothing with it, hide it, it says, and nothing came of it when he went to give it back. And He was rebuked for that. Now, teaching, of course, about how we handle our own giftedness, whatever it is. There's not one single one of us who has the same kind of giftedness, is there? I mean, some of us can sing wonderfully, and some of us are around in the basement somewhere. That may not be your giftedness, in other words, but every single one of us has been blessed by some meanness. And we're to use it well. And so that then, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Of course, it was the Passover season. And Jesus had already said, I will not be killed until the Passover, until this season and the calendar of the Jews. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell them, the Lord needs it. It's obvious then, you know, that Jesus, this isn't just an accident. Jesus had laid the groundwork for this event to happen beforehand so that there would be this colt ready for him to ride into Jerusalem upon. And so it says, those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, and others of the gospel accounts, they also include the palm branches spread there on the ground, or with people waving the palm branches and joy as they saw Jesus go by. For some reason, Luke doesn't include that particular event of the palm branches. But when he came near the place, Luke continues, where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of his disciples, and pay attention to that. It's not just everybody, is it? It's the crowd of his disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles, the NIV says. English Standard Version says, for all the wonderful things that they had seen. And this is how they did so, quoting from Psalm 118, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. And then, as perhaps an allusion to his birth, saying those words which the angels announced, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And how did what was said at his birth end? But, and peace among men of goodwill. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. To which Jesus said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones themselves will cry out. Here ends the reading of God's holy word for us today. Thanks be to God. There's some, I think, going back to the old camp meetings, there's some song that asks, how can we keep from singing? I don't know, who has heard Alison Krauss? Ever hear Alison Krauss? Great country music singer. I just love, she's also, I guess you'd classify her, folk singer, wouldn't you say? Beautiful voice, and she sings this song. I'm not going to attempt it, but she sings this song, and it got me to thinking about songs that are in our, sort of like embedded in us, that we can't keep from singing when we hear them. Have you ever found yourself like in your car? Or maybe, you know, I listen to Spotify while I'm in the office. It probably drives Lori crazy. I've got this one station for Spotify that's Russian Orthodox music. I can't understand a word of what they're saying, but it's just this wonderful deep bass. I mean, they're singing down in the basement because I can't hit those notes at all. But it seems to raise the hair on my arms because one of them is they're singing the creed, the apostolic creed that we join together in. Another one of the songs is the Lord's Prayer. You know, they're singing the songs that we ourselves know in our worship. And this tongue that is so foreign to me, and the music so foreign to me. And yet I know that we are one in the Spirit because we're one in the Lord. There's another that, anybody here, it's Tallis. He was an English writer. He wrote music for English tongue, but it's all in Latin. It's all of male voices, all male voices. It's that medieval period of music. And I happened to see an article in the journal once that said, it was a review of this, that said, anybody hear of the Cloisters? It's part of the New York City's, the part of the Museum of Art. And it's up the Hudson River. One of the Rockefellers purchased an entire cathedral along with its cloister and brought it up stone by stone and re-erected it there in this upper part of the Hudson River and above the bluffs. And the review was saying they had every voice. Every single male voice had its own speaker. So there were 40 speakers that surrounded the cathedral sanctuary. And you could either stand in the middle and listen to the whole as in surround sound, or you could stand in front of a speaker and listen to that particular voice. It was like entering into heaven. This experience. I'm sure glad Robin said, I pull this on Robin all the time. Let's go do this. And she'll be, well, I had this plan to do, but then she'll play along with me. And so I'm sure glad she said, yeah, let's go up and do that. Well, Robin, just to give you another example, I'm terrible at knowing songs. Like, you have a song that's yours, like your romantic song when you were just got to know your maybe spouse to be or boyfriend, girlfriend. Do you have one of those? A lot of people have a song. Well, Robin, her song, which I'm supposed to know, I had to ask her actually what it is. You ever hear of REO Speedwagon? Okay, they had a song that was Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore. Because when she first looked at me, she said, whoa, I'm staying away from that guy. Because I had dropped a bunch of weights on my head, and my whole side of the face was black and blue, and I had burst a blood vessel or something in my eye, and it was red as a beet. And So she just said, I'm not that guy. So that was 1985 that we got married. So it's worked thus far. And the song, I Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore. She had finally come to the conclusion, because she was she worked for a seminary. One of her jobs was washing or cleaning up rooms, the guest room. And she was cleaning the tub and had a sponge in her hand and was cleaning out the tub, and threw the sponge in the tub and said, I can't fight this feeling anymore. So that's how we got there. Some songs you just can't keep from singing. The people with Jesus were a mixed bunch. Some were his disciples, to be sure, as the scripture here tells us. The 12 apostles were there with him. Even Judas Iscariot was among those with him. He hadn't betrayed him yet. Others had seen what Jesus had been doing and teaching all along and were following him up to Jerusalem right now just out of curiosity. One has to wonder if, you know, Zacchaeus, the wee little man, was there with them. It's only 17 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. All uphill, but it's 17 miles. And it was to Zacchaeus that Jesus had said, I'm going to your house this day. And then he said, after Zacchaeus, repentant Zacchaeus, he said, I'm going to give half of all I have to the poor. And those who I've defrauded, this is just in the same chapter, those whom I have defrauded, I tell you, of fourfold back to them. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, since this Zacchaeus also is son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, he said, came to seek and to save the lost. Isn't that us? Isn't that why we sing the songs of Zion together? Why we can't keep from singing? Because he came to save us. And still others were simply on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover and had no care for Jesus. Right? They wanted to go for the Passover. And others were like the Pharisees, the scribes and Sadducees, who plotted against Jesus and were looking for the opportunity to kill him whenever they could. All these were among the crowds going to Jerusalem. And so this became another moment for people to sing together. People could not keep from singing. No matter where you were, except for maybe the Sadducees, Pharisees, and scribes, you had to join in this singing. But of course, we know for some, they were swept up in the moment. And their song quickly died away. For others, they wanted this racket to be silenced. some of the Passover pilgrims wanted nothing to do with him, this man. Others, as it says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd knew this was a fulfillment sign of the Messiah's coming, an end time sign. And so they said to Jesus, keep them quiet. And he said, what? No. For should they, I tell you, the very stones themselves, creation itself, will cry out for me. And for Jesus' disciples and apostles, those who had seen what he had done in these the years of his ministry and teaching, man, they were excited about what was going to happen. They saw, maybe not realizing, not knowing, not even maybe wanting to hear, like Peter, that the way to his coronation as the Son of Man was through the cross. Nonetheless, it was a coronation that they expected. The end of the age is coming, Jesus was saying. It is coming, but it's not coming as a coronation like you might expect, but a repudiation of me by the world that's going to end with a cross which lies before me. And my blood must be shed for the forgiveness of sins, for the sins of you and for me. And not for yours alone, he added, remember, but for the sins of the whole world. So the question remains for us today, doesn't it? Where are you in the Passover procession with the Messiah? The Christ of God. Are you among the ecstatic disciples? Or perhaps you've just been swept up in the moment and soon your joy will be extinguished. Reality will return. He's not the Messiah. He can't be. There's too much wrong in the world, too much of sickness, too much of evil. Like the skeptical Pharisees, make them stop their singing. Those who believe, make us stop our singing. Someone said, as the introduction was to a great book on the Holocaust written by a Jew himself. The preface was written by a Christian, a Lutheran pastor, who said, you know, they ask when they see the child nailed to the fence of the concentration camps. They ask, where is Jesus in this? Where is Jesus? To which the pastor wrote, he's right there. He's nailed to that fence. That's the answer. Christ died for the redemption of all that we are, our sins and our sorrows. And all the evil of the world, the end times now, that we live in. Christ came in humility once for the cross. But when he comes again, he shall come as the judge of righteousness and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I'll never forget being in the bottom of the Grand Canyon and seeing a great thunderstorm descend into the canyon ahead of us. And my brother was who started singing this. It's number 77, if you want to see it. He started singing, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made." And all the crowd with us, we joined together with them. I can't remember more than one stanza. I don't know about you. Robin remembers whole songs, but how does it go if you want to look at it? Number 77. "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art." Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great. Sing it. Sing it. Let's sing it a cappella. For it says, "And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Let's stand. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great. in every life. A song that we cannot keep from singing. Let's close our worship together.